The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Speaking at a news conference with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Donald Trump unveiled his own vision for the Gaza Strip.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area.
So that was Donald Trump last week. He's doubled down a few times since on Truth Social, and then most recently overnight in a Fox News, overnight for us, in a Fox News interview where he said there would be no right of return for Palestinians. He also said, I would own it. I thought it was interesting. He used the first person singular, I would own it. And anyway, it would be this magnificent resort on the banks of the Mediterranean in the future. With me to discuss is Dr. Bishara Baba, who's chairman of Arab Americans for Peace. They were formerly known as Arab Americans for Trump. Bishara, you're very welcome to the show and thanks for taking the time to speak to us. Kind of, it's this breakneck speed we find ourselves trying to digest everything Donald Trump does. He was getting an awful lot of credit for a supposed role in the ceasefire in Gaza. But now, what do you and do other people in your group make of this suggestion?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And on behalf of Palestinian Americans, I say we love you, Ireland, and for what you stand for. Now, with regard to what President Trump has been saying, President Trump does not own Gaza. Gaza belongs to the Palestinians. We helped elect President Trump because he promised us two things. He promised us an end to the wars, and he delivered on the ceasefire in Gaza. But he also promised a lasting peace in the Middle East that is satisfactory to all parties. And now what he's talking about is satisfactory to none but the Israelis. So it is. I appreciate what President Trump has done, but I really disagree completely and categorically with displacing the Palestinians from their homeland. I am the son of Palestinian refugees. My parents lived in tents in a refugee camp in Jordan. I do not want, right now, the situation in Gaza is as miserable as it can ever be and as close to hellish as possible. But I cannot imagine those people being subjected to another migration, you know, from their own homeland. This is against international humanitarian law. And as Palestinian Americans and as Palestinians, we will not stand for it, period. We would rather fight than accept a situation where we are subjected to another forced migration out of Palestine.
The former president, Joe Biden, you know, earned this moniker, Genocide Joe, for his pretty unbridled support of Israel, the greatest, you know, ally the Israelis would ever find. He kind of often described himself as in the White House. Are there any within the group, Bishara, who regret now voting for Donald Trump?
If I tell you no, I'd be lying. Yes, there are people who are regretting having voted for Donald Trump. On the other hand, the president has done a lot of things within a very short period of time, including the almost reformation of the U.S. federal government. So, of course, his suggestion to buy Greenland and his suggestion to make Canada the 51st state. So what I'm saying is that let's wait. Give it some time, because President Trump is going to be meeting with the King of Jordan tomorrow. He'll be meeting with the King of Bahrain within the week. And so I believe that once he hears from Arab leaders, and we are making our voice loud and clear to him, that reason would hopefully prevail. Besides, we helped get him elected. Next year, there are elections in key places that will determine who will control the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives, and our votes will count. And we are using those votes as leverage to make sure that he fulfills the promises he made to us.
And long term, what's What is that promise in your mind? What role would you like to see? Say after he meets with the King of Jordan and he meets with the other leaders in the region over the coming days and months, including his kind of chief ally in the Saudis. What would you like to see? What role would you like to see the American administration play?
I would like to see the American administration support a two-state solution. Israel and Palestine living in peace side by side, with Palestine being the West Bank, East Jerusalem as its capital, and the Gaza Strip. And those two areas would be connected via a tunnel or some other means. But without a two-state solution, there can never be peace in the Middle East, period. I cannot imagine any other solution that would satisfy the aspirations of the Palestinian people. And I can tell you that many more people are willing to die to ensure that Palestinians have their dignity, their right to self-determination, and a state of their own.
Now, I've kind of heard people over the last few days as well, Bishara, saying, listen, we should have seen this coming. I mean, this, after all, was the president who moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem.
Yes. Well, you know, when he made that proposal, he did not rule out recognizing a Palestinian capital in East Jerusalem. So the Palestinians, in my view, were quick at saying 1,000 no to the ideas that he presented without coming back with other alternatives. Now, Mike Waltz, who is the national security advisor in the United States, has indicated, if you don't like the proposals that we are presenting right now, give us alternatives. And this is what we plan to do, is provide alternatives. But from my perspective, you know, you cannot look at a map of the Middle East from the perspective of a home builder or a real estate developer. You have to look at the political insinuations that are entailed here. Gaza is not a piece of property. It is part and parcel of the Palestinian homeland. And therefore, the idea of building, operating, and transferring Gaza, which means having people build the Gaza Strip and they become as investors and have a 50-year lease on Gaza and then transfer it to the Palestinians, is not acceptable. But then we hear the president saying that Gaza, Palestinians will not be allowed to return in Gaza. And that, from my perspective, is utterly unacceptable. Utterly.
Well, listen, a lot was also made in the run-up to the election about the population and the demographics in Dearborn and Michigan, and a suggestion in recent days as well that maybe there's a feeling there of what people are calling buyer's remorse. Amr Zahr is a comedian and activist based in Dearborn. Amr, you're very welcome to the show. Is that true, the narrative that's emerging, that there's a feeling of buyer's remorse?
Good afternoon, Kieran, and thanks for having me. And no, it's not true. The media, unfortunately, has mischaracterized this. I saw an article alluding to that, and it was an anonymous source. People who have gone on the record are very clear that, in fact, this whole episode of this last week or so has vindicated exactly why we couldn't support the Democrats. All of a sudden, after Trump said what he said last Tuesday, Democrats and liberals and the American media have found their ability to denounce the notion of the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. Of course, this has been Israeli policy since 1948 and before. It was in the first Zionist conventions over 100 years ago, and it's been fully supported by the United States, including since October 2023, when, of course, the notion and the goal of the war was ethnic cleansing, asking the Palestinians to leave the north, then to leave the center, then to go all the way to south, then to line up on Rafah. This was all about ethnic cleansing the whole time. But now, all of a sudden, when it comes out of Trump's mouth, I don't know, I guess it has a different ring when Trump says it. It is able to enrage Democrats and liberals and the American media. I got contacted by a journalist last week that said to me, are you worried that Trump's words are dangerous? I said, what do you mean? They said, are you worried that they could embolden people? I said, what do you mean? They said to go out and act. You mean embolden people to go out and hurt Palestinians or Arabs? On October 10th, 2023, Joe Biden said he saw beheaded babies when he didn't. And then 4 days later, a six-year-old boy was stabbed 26 times in Chicago to death by his landlord, who said that Palestinians don't deserve to live. And then last in November 2023, three Palestinian men were shot in Vermont for wearing a keffiyeh. And then a young seven-year-old Yemeni girl was stabbed in Detroit. This has already been going on. And now you're asking me if we are going to be worried that bigots and racists might be emboldened by the words of a president of the United States? It's really maddening, yet vindicating to see that now people have the ability. I always said the Democrats would treat us better when Trump is president, and it's happening.
So basically, you know, kind of almost a year and a half of the systematic carpet bombing of a civilian population to drive them out of their homes and out of their country. But because Donald Trump is now talking about a luxury resort, suddenly people are angry.
We've seen it before. Remember that every Democrat in Congress for 20, 30 years supported moving the embassy to Jerusalem. They voted for this thing called the Jerusalem Embassy Relocation Act. Every one of them voted for it every year. And then Trump, but it never happened because it was the policy of the president not to do it. Then Trump said he's going to do it. And when he said he's going to do it, every Democrat came out against it. Even Nancy Pelosi wrote a letter in 2017 saying moving the embassy to Jerusalem is a bad idea. Okay, then Trump did it, and there was a big ceremony. Then Biden said he's going to keep the embassy there, and every Democrat clapped their hands and said, no problem, we love you, Joe Biden. So, I mean, this is clear. The media has this hatred, and the Democrats have this hatred for Trump. By the way, in some cases, rightfully so, right? I mean, Trump is illiterate. He's a con man. We all understand that. You don't need to lecture Arab Americans about the devastation of Trump policies. We went through it. We were the primary targets of him the first time around, and we're the primary targets now. We understand. We don't need to be educated about it. We don't need people coming to us and saying, how do you feel now? Do you regret it? The mere fact that you're asking us these questions and the mere fact that you've put this attention on us only when we seems like we flipped the presidential election vindicated everything we did. We Arab Americans made a historic move in this election. We were able, because of the Gaza situation before the election, to get Biden to drop out. And then we were able to show that our power means something. And most importantly, that the death of the children of Gaza had to mean something. And so we were able to take away the presidency from a party that we had supported 80% to 20% against Trump back in 2020. So they're going to have to deal with us in a serious way instead of simply coming to us and saying, hey, do you regret what you did? No. Do you regret that you neglected us for so long? That goes for the media and the liberals and the Democratic Party. I've been a Democrat my whole life, but they neglected us. Do they regret it? That's the conversation that needs to happen.
But what about and the sense of Pyrrhic victory that, like, yes, we've kind of exposed the duplicitousness of the media and the Democrats and the lack of sympathy or empathy or any feeling whatsoever they have for the Palestinian people or their cause. But at the same time, in order to kind of to get to this point, we've got a guy in the White House who's talking about ethnic cleansing again.
I would argue that the Pyrrhic victory would have been letting Harris win with our support. Because that would have meant that while we were able to avoid Trump, if that would have been the victory, that the cost of that would have been living with ourselves, that the genocide in Gaza was not even a red line for us. And we could not live with that. And so this was had to be, it was obviously two terrible outcomes. But this outcome had to be the only outcome that we could live with. So I would argue that the other way would have been much worse for us, for our hearts, but also politically, right? If Harris would have won, nobody would have cared what Arab Americans said ever again. But in this way, they're coming and ask. It's funny because they're coming and asking us, do you regret it? And they're coming and they're getting really mad at us. But the only reason is because we showed our power and we were able to flip a presidential election. OK, so this is something very historic that we did. We solidified our political power for a generation or two. And by the way, why is it worse? Trump is different in style. But what all he did last week was simply say out loud what American policy has been since 1948 and in an even bigger way since October 7th, which is the support. The full blind support of Israeli brutality and the ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. I guess it sounds different. I guess it has a different ring when he says it. But all of a sudden, Democrats and liberals are able to find themselves and oppose it. That is the hypocrisy we should be talking about.
Amar, listen, real pleasure. Thanks a million for chatting to us. I hope we talk again soon. Amar Zahr is a comedian and activist. He's based in Dearborn, Michigan. We spoke to Dr. Bishara Baba as well, chairman of Arab Americans for Peace, formerly Arab Americans for Trump.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.